Today on Real Radio.
If you have a life that you feel the bottom is dropping out, one of the great things that you can destroy your life about is to start building walls of defense, emotional walls. It's easier to take down the Berlin Wall than to take down an emotional wall of a heart.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues his verse-by-verse look at the book of 1 Samuel. We're in chapter 1 where Hannah, who up to this point had been unable to conceive a child, she was in distress, and she asks God, the God of Israel, she says she wants a son. In verses 12 through 20, we read what happened after that prayer was offered up. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs now in a lesson called Life, When the Bottom Drops Out.
There is no way on God's green earth that you or I will ever be defeated if we are pouring out our heart unto God. He will not allow it. Did you hear that? If we go to Him and pray, God, will you please hear my cry? And Lord, bring my prayer in line with you. If I pray anything at this hour that is not in accordance with your perfect will, Lord, strike it from your record. Take it away from your ears. But Lord, as I begin to pray right now, lead me in your spirit as I pray. God, may the words that fall from my mouth be the words that you want to hear. Lord, please program me now to pray effectively to you. And you know, Jesus taught us that. Jesus in John 15:7 says, if my word, the Bible, abides in you, you can pray what you wish and it shall be done unto you. John 15:7. Some of you are saying, what? Where's that verse? Yeah, it's John 15:7. Jesus says, put my word in your life and then go pray. Go pray the Bible. You want answered prayer? Pray the Bible. See, we don't often get answered prayers because we're praying our will. We would never say that. I saw a very famous televangelist on a certain television program, and he said this. He said, in fact, I have it on audio cassette. He said, I will never pray God's will be done. That's weak. He said, I will pray my will be done. And I thought, God, please, don't blow up my TV set. I was just joking when I turned on that channel. I was just surfing by and I heard this. You know, you expect lightning to come down. No. That's blasphemous. You see, our emotions overpower us in our frailty, and we are so often carted off to defeat. So many times we're defeated. And we walk around in this state of being defeated. Eli looks at her and he considers her to be a drunk. She responds by saying, listen, that's not the case. I'm a woman sorrowful of heart. The second point that we see this evening is this. Life, when the bottom seems to drop out, often creates a critical eye within us. We get a critical eye. This is a plague of many people, both in and out of the church. Sadly, I say this with a lot of emotion and a lot of concern. It is my personal belief that if the church that is wayward tonight, because they've been hurt by ministries or hurt by other Christians, the church that is wayward tonight would come back home to the fold. Now, granted, they may have been wronged and may have been wronged terribly. That's no excuse for them to stay away from Jesus. They may not like the church, but remember, if that's you wayward, Jesus died for the church. You may not think much of it, but he thinks the world of it. You may not love the church. He loves it. My encouragement to you who, well, you're not even here, so who am I talking to? But if you get the tape and you're able to hear this, The greatest thing that you can do for Jesus is to go to a Bible-believing church and to put all your justifiable broken hearts and pains and off to the side and start getting involved for the name and glory of Jesus Christ. Why? Because, my friend, if you have a critical eye, and often when the bottom seems to drop out of our lives, we start to get a critical eye. Verse 16 and 17 says, "Do not consider your maidservant a wicked woman, for out of the abundance of my complaint and my grief I have spoken until now." Then Eli answered and said, "Go in peace." And I circled that in my Bible. "Go in peace, and the God of Israel grant your petition which you have asked of him." You see, her heart is clear. Her conscience is clear. "Eli, I know you're the priest, but you're wrong. Out of the absolute abundance of my heart, my complaint, my grief, I have been praying. And Eli, I love God. I love the Lord. I'm praying. I'm seeking his face. I'm not drunk." And he says to her, "Go in peace." A person who has a critical eye can never go anywhere in peace. Again, your eye that you've developed. In fact, if somebody gave you that black eye, "You know, I had a pastor who just ate me alive," or, "I had this elder, he came up and said," and I know, listen, every one of us have that story. Did you know that? You think you were alone in that? I am convinced now, I've been a Christian a long time, half my life. I'm convinced that God will see to it that every Christian will have a run-in with another Christian. Look, I'm not worried about running into Satan. He's got horns. He's ugly. You know, that's pretty discernible. Yikes! This is Satan. It's the Christian that gets me. It's the Christian. I have a great amount of power in your life. Did you know that? I can hurt you terribly. And the same back at me. You can hurt me terribly. Why? Because you're my sister. You're my brother. Where does the pain come from? James says, where does the wars and the fighting come from among you? Do they not come from among your desires to be something? Envy, jealousy, strife, division. That's what hurts. That's what hurts the church. So listen, every one of us have been hurt. And if you haven't been hurt, cheer up. You will be hurt. And the cool thing is you can respond like Hannah. And you can say, "Listen, I've taken this thing that you've done in my life. I no longer hold it against you. I have taken my concern. And I've given it to the Lord. And I refuse to have a critical eye. I refuse. And it is my absolute heart's desire that you know what I'm talking about. If you don't, that you find that out. Because listen, I've been there, and one of the most liberating things is to let that critical heart go. Let that critical eye go away. It is so fun. You know what? I mean to tell you, it's the best. It is liberating. Hannah's such a great example. Often, though, when a critical eye is created in us and we let it be, we begin to justify our own position. We harden ourselves. Verse 16, she says, "For out of the abundance of my complaint and my grief have I spoken until now." This is beautiful. She's so humble. She doesn't come up to the priest and she says, "Hey, listen here, man, you know, If you had a spiritual backbone and any discernment from God, you would realize that I'm in a great, great, perilous emotional condition here, and I was crying out to God." She's not critical. She's humble. She's not justifying her position. She could have said, "You know, Eli, let me sit down. Let me tell you something. My name means grace. And let me tell you about your boss, Yahweh, God, who you work for. You want to know what's going on in my life? My mom was a little tiny, well, she was about 4'11". and pure Portuguese. And she spoke horrible English. But my brother and I used to get her so upset, and she'd come after us, and she'd be swinging at us, and we'd hold her forehead like this while she's swinging. Isn't that mean? And it was just the cutest thing, though. Now I say it's cute. But you know, we knew when we had pushed her too far, because having that Portuguese temper, she'd say, "That's it." We knew we were in trouble when she was no longer resisting the palm of her hand. She's like this, you know. And as long as we had tension on the palm of her hand, we knew that we had her under control. But as soon as she relaxed, she did a 180-degree turn and took off toward the kitchen. And you could hear the kitchen drawers open. And out comes whatever she grabbed. And I have to tell you, my brother, we used to go out the bedroom windows. And it was like, oh, man. And we're laughing. And it's like, here she goes. But the thing is, as long as there was resistance, nothing was happening. Now, if we relaxed and said, come on, Mom. As soon as we relaxed, not her relaxing, that meant danger. But when we relaxed, and then we'd laugh and it was all cool. Peter tells us God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble, ease and favor to the humble. Therefore, he says, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God that he may exalt you in due time. Stop resisting. Don't justify your position. Hannah, give it up. And Hannah's such a great example of this. Number two, secondly, verse 17. Then Eli answers and said, go in peace. To attack the position of others is human. It's the way that we are. Because our very human nature finds faults with people. We look for failures to justify our own position. And we all know there's no scarcity of material on anyone. We can attack anyone and be accurate about it. Is it the right thing to do? No. He says, go in peace. What does she do? Well, okay, yeah, but I want to tell you a few more things, Eli. Oh, no, she goes in peace. Verse 17. Life, when the bottom drops out regarding this critical eye, often when that happens, and this is one of the notorious signs, is that we'll begin to build walls of defense. We'll begin to build a wall of defense. Why? Because we've been hurt. And the God of Israel, he says, grant you your petition, which you have asked of him. I have that marked. Which you have asked of him. I love it. Ask of him, my friend. Go to God. If you do not go to God with your petitions, with your prayers, with whatever concerns you, if you have a life that you feel the bottom is dropping out, one of the great things that you can destroy your life about is to start building walls of defense, emotional walls. It's easier to take down the Berlin Wall than to take down an emotional wall of a heart. And many homes are ruined or in a state of ruin right now because the wall is so high. She will never forgive him. He will never forgive her. And everything that they do in their relationship is always under a cloud of unforgiveness because a wall of defense has been built so high. And by building a wall, we say, I will never grant you the power to ever hurt me again. And listen, I know that feeling is justifiable in your heart, and you've got all the great and true reasons why you've built that wall. But haven't you realized the moment you built that wall, it cast a shadow in your own life? And no longer is the sun of righteousness shining in your life like he once did. Because he doesn't live like that. Jesus, when reviled, did not revile back. And somehow we think that we're doing God a favor by taking our friend or our foe through some kind of a boot camp for the rest of their life, that now we're somehow the Holy Spirit in their lives and we're going to set it straight for them. And we all justify it by having a wall built around our hearts. It's wrong. Ephesians 4:30 tells us, let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you. It means take the trash out. Just take it out and dump it at the curb. Hebrews 12:13 through 15 says, pursue peace with all people and holiness. That means living right, dedicated to God, without which no one will see the Lord. Looking diligently, lest anyone fall short of the grace of God, lest a root of bitterness spring up and cause trouble. And by this, many have become defiled. Wow. Third point, we'll run through them quickly, and we can. Verses 18 to 20. The first thing that we see here often when we sense that the bottom falls out is that we have a cynical heart and mind. Cynical, by the way, and cynicism says something like this. Everyone's against me. Everyone's against me. It says in verse 18, and she said, let your maidservant find favor in your sight. So the woman went her way and ate. Ah, she went and ate. Remember what time of the feasting and festival it was? They went up to feast. They went up to celebrate. Remember, her husband says, haven't you eaten, sweetheart? She can't even eat until now she's got it right with God. She's connected with the Lord. Maybe that's why I fight my weight. She says, let your maidservant find favor in your sight. So the woman went her way and ate. And all the women said, well, all the men said, amen. Amen. Hallelujah. And her face was no longer sad. It's because she ate. She ate. The Bible tells us, I'll paraphrase it, what good is it if you have everything you like? Get your best meal out there on the table. What good is it, the Bible says, if you have a fantastic meal, but you're living in a contentious house? Solomon says, I'd rather live on top of the shack. More peaceful up there. What a great example. I love that when it says, and she said, let your maidservant find favor. She's not cynical. Ladies, could she have been cynical? Yeah. Secondly, cynicism says no one and nothing is real. Cynicism says this, nobody's for real. Oh, I'd like you to meet this person or that person. I have to tell you, cynicism. This is cynicism when it says nothing or no one is real. A friend of mine said, hey, Jack, I want you to meet this girl. She's a good Christian girl. I want you to meet her. And I said, that's a joke. I was 20 years old. And my friend Rick says, I want you to meet this nice Christian girl. I've known her for a long time. I want you to meet her. She's right over there. I was at the beach, Orange Street, Newport Beach, and we're there, and there's this girl with her friend, and my friend Rick says, I want you to meet this girl. Good Christian girl. And I said, that's a good Christian girl. They don't exist, is what I told him. They don't exist. There are no Christian girls. Meet this Christian girl. I had no idea, I don't remember that day. I mean, I remember the day, I don't remember the date. But little did I know that in a matter of a couple of months, I was going to be proposing. And all the while, man, I'm fighting it and kicking it and thinking, there's no Christian girls. And then, you know, in the midst of all, you know, the relationship coming together, I'm thinking, this can't work. Why? I was cynical. There were no Christian girls. I believed at that time God had called me to build a company and be rich. And a Christian, of course. But no women. There are none. And God had a plan. Cynicism thinks like that. There's nobody. There's nothing. This is all, I'm going to take my Christianity. I'm going to live in my own house. I'm not going to go outside my door. I'm going to create my own little world. And that's a path of destruction. You know, as a Christian, you were made. to live outside of your life. Cynicism. It says in verse 19, then they rose early in the morning. Oh, I love this. And worshiped before the Lord and returned and came to their house at Ramah. And then finally, very quickly, verse 19, none. Cynicism often says, none are with me. But they worship together. They worship together. Cynicism says no one or nothing is for real. It also says that there's nobody with me. I'm all alone in this. Nobody understands my plight. Nobody is with me. But the Bible says, and Elkanah knew Hannah, his wife. You know what that means. Okay. And the Lord remembered her. It doesn't mean the Lord forgot her. It's the Lord is honoring her. And verse 20 tells us that cynicism says and whispers and speaks to us depression. Be depressed. And so it came to pass in the process of time that Hannah conceived and bore a son and called his name Samuel, saying, because I have asked for him from the Lord. And the Bible tells us in 1 Thessalonians 5:15 through 18, it says, rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. That is, be in an attitude of prayer all the time. And in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. And that means right now, the thing that you think is causing the bottom of your life to drop out, God says, this is my perfect will. And I'll end with this. Number one, what was Hannah's success? She called out to God and said, look on the affliction of your maidservant. So start crying out to God if you haven't. Quite frankly, those of us who have problems and have pursuits and things going on in life and need God's direction, you'll find here from 7 to 7:30 on Wednesday nights. If you can make it, some of you can't, but that, frankly, this place ought to be packed at 7 to 7:30 or else your life is perfect and there's nothing going on. See, well, I can pray at home. Yes, you can. But you know what's wonderful? As you come at 7 o'clock and come into that prayer service every Wednesday before church begins, there's something about it. Look on my affliction. Pray for yourself. Number two, she says, God, remember me. That doesn't mean he forgot. It means, Lord, count how long I've gone through this. Consider the scale and the magnitude of my dilemma. Recognize and evaluate, oh God. Thirdly, do not forget your maidservant. That word means to keep at the forefront of your mind, oh God, to hold as a priority my life. You ever pray like that? God, make me the object of your affection. Pray like that. And fourth and finally, she says, but give your maidservant a male child. And God did that very thing. God granted her. He appointed her. He gave her a son. What a wonderful woman. How much we can learn from her.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a lesson called Life When the Bottom Drops Out. It's a look at part of the opening chapter of this Old Testament account, which tells us about the life of this prophet and judge over Israel. We'll hear more on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. All right, it's Monday, and you know what that means. You can catch our television program tonight called Real Life with Jack Hibbs. And tonight's Real Life with Jack Hibbs features the first in an informative and insightful series on marriage. You'll be seeing more on this topic in the coming weeks, but tonight it's a discussion specifically on the biblical roles for husbands and wives. To watch Real Life with Jack Hibbs, you can go to realradioactive.org and then click on the banner for the TV program. Or you can go to hischannel.com at 7 p.m. tonight. Real Life with Jack Hibbs. Every Monday night, 7 o'clock. That's West Coast time, by the way. That's on hischannel.com. Hischannel.com. Or realradioactive.org. That's realradioactive.org. Our telephone number here at Real Radio, 877-RR-RADIO. That's 877-RR-RADIO. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at realradioactive.org. That's realradioactive.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.